Good morning. God, through the Old Testament prophet Malachi, says in chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the window of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." Maybe giving of your tithe, which is 10% of your income, is a real leap of faith. I understand that. But I want to just encourage you, God loves to bless, and he's inviting you to put him to the test. God sees your heart. He knows your need. He is a faithful God. Amen. If you haven't taken that step of giving of your tithe, I want to encourage you today. God wants to bless you as you do give. So thank you for your generosity and giving and your tithes and your offerings. I also want to just mention water baptism. It's a great time. So if you want to be water baptized, a car like this is down in the lobby. Fill it out. I'll be in contact with you this week. But it's always a good time when there's water baptisms, from new life, old life to new life. Amen. And then the men's breakfast this Saturday. If you like to eat, men, and I'm sure you do, we have a great time at 7:30 to 9, and then fellowship, food, and devotion, and then you're on your way. You can head out at 9:30, and the graphic looks like it says G30, but it's actually 9:30. If you can stick around, or others could come at that time to help us do some small, odd projects around the church. We would love to have as many hands as we can and stay as long as you can. If you've got other things going on, we get it. So just an invite for anyone, and there's also a sign-up sheet in the lobby as well. And then lastly, I just want to say thank you for all the birthday cards for my wife and I. We celebrated our birthday. We're 3 days apart, born the same year. I was born in Utah. She was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We met in Minnesota and got married in Illinois. All right. But we're 3 days apart, born the same year. Crazy. Anyway, but thank you for the cards and your love. We deeply appreciate that. Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all our moms who taught us a lot. Did they not? Things my mother taught me. Maybe you can relate. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, what? They're going to stay that way. Medicine, mom's wisdom. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think that I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me, right? Okay. My mother taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. Okay. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Thanks, Mom. My mother taught me about genetics. You are just like your father. Wow. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. When my mother taught me about anticipation, just wait until your father gets home. How many have heard that one? Okay. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. I remember those days. Messing up at church and talking or goofing around, you're going to get it when we get home. But she said it in a real Christian way, you know. And my all-time favorite, justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. Things my mother taught me. Yes. Mothers. Guess what? We all have one. I recognize this morning For some, it may be difficult, a difficult day to honor and celebrate Mother's Day. You may have lost your mother, or she's no longer with you to call or to get advice or to share some time together. Maybe your mom, like mine, lives far away and you can't be together. Or you had a challenging childhood, which resulted in a challenging relationship with your mom. Or your relationship with your mom is currently difficult. Or as a mother, you have a strained relationship with a child or an adult son or daughter. I also recognize that today may be tough for some of you because you're not a mother yet. And I want to speak to all of the women today, even if you're not a mom. Whether you're single, single again, a wife, a mom, a stepmom, an aunt, a sister-in-law, a grandmother, or a great-grandmother, right? God places tremendous value on you as a woman. God places tremendous value on you as a woman. And we live in a society that is trying to redefine a man and redefine a woman, that we celebrate motherhood because it is and still God's idea. So today, across the United States, we celebrate Mother's Day. We honor our moms and all the women in our lives. But it's God who places the greatest worth on women and men, but on women today, every day. So although I may be speaking specifically to all the women today, God's word, God's truth is for all of us. The same principles apply to the men here today, the dads, the husbands. So don't tune out, don't check out because it's Mother's Day. I'm going to just chill today. I'm going to check out the game. I'm sure if we were to reflect on growing up, we all had or have other mothers who influenced us. A friend's mom who treated us like family. She was like a mom to us. An older sister, like I have, right? An older sibling, and they treated us, they were like our second mom to us. Or an aunt, or an older cousin, or a grandmotherly type who always made us feel welcome in their home and in their lives. Like we were one of theirs. It could have been a teacher, a coach, a mentor, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor's wife. This made us feel like one of their kids. And I also believe that you're never too old to need a motherly type in your life. Later today, I'm going to call my mom and maybe FaceTime and wish her happy Mother's Day. Can't be together. But Nancy's kind of like a second mom, right? Here, she's a second mom to many people. Being it's Mother's Day, I'd like to talk about a woman in the Bible who was definitely a motherly type, even though we don't know if she had children. Her name is Tabitha, and her story is found in the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 9. So I'm going to read the story. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 32. Peter traveled from place to place to visit the believers, and in his travels, he came to the Lord's people in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And he was healed instantly. Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon turned to the Lord when they saw Aeneas walking around. Verse 36, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. So I'm not going to reference her as Dorcas, okay? You understand why, okay? We'll call her Tabitha, all right? Or Tabby, okay. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her friends prepared her for burial, and they laid her in an upstairs room. When they had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing Peter the coats and other garments that Dorcas and Tabitha had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he showed them that she was alive. The news raced through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a leather worker, a tanner. Well, the title of my message this morning is Tabitha's Faithfulness. Tabitha's Faithfulness. Peter came to visit the believers in a town called Lydda. It was a Gentile population about 21 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And there Peter performed a great miracle, healing Aeneas, right? We don't know much about this man. We don't know how old he was. Was he a Gentile? Was he a Jew? Did he know Jesus? But Aeneas was paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. We don't know how that happened, meaning that he was crippled and helpless. He was a burden to himself. He was a burden to others. And there's no way his situation would ever change, ever get better. But Peter boldly tells him, "Jesus Christ heals you." And he was healed miraculously. Not the next day, not the next hour, right then. His life was dramatically changed in that instant. And when the people of Lydda and Sharon, another town close by, they saw Aeneas walking around, knowing that he was paralyzed, it says they turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. Now Joppa, the other town that we read earlier, it's a seacoast city. Today it's called Jaffa. And it was located about 30 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And there, Tabitha, that's where she lived. She was a believer. So her name in the Greek was Dorcas, and her name in Aramaic is Tabitha. They both mean gazelle. Tabitha was always doing kind things for others and the poor. That's kind of what we're going to hinge on this morning. She was always doing kind things for others and the poor. Well, the story goes she got sick and she died. And instead of burying her, her friends prepared her body and laid her in an upstairs room. Now, it's Jewish custom to wash the body and to anoint it with spices for burial. And her death was a tragedy to the local believers there, a tragedy to the local church. So her friends sent two men to go and get Peter to come as soon as possible, since he wasn't that far away. It's interesting to note that even though Tabitha was dead, they still sent for Peter. It was too late to call a doctor, and incidentally, the book of Acts that I just read from, Luke is the author, and Luke is a doctor. It was too late to call a doctor, but it wasn't too late to call Peter, to call on Peter's God. So Peter comes with them, and he goes upstairs with where Tabitha is, and the widows who are weeping and grieving, right? They showed Peter the coats and the robes and the clothes that Tabitha had made them. She made this coat for me last year during the winter, when I was down to my last garment. She made this robe for me. "Look, Peter, she made this blanket when I was sick." And they gave detail and the care that of this garment that Tabitha had made them. See, it's a good reminder that in those days there was no government aid to assist either the widows or the orphans. It was the church, right? The believers who were to look after those who were truly in need. James, he's the half-brother of Jesus, reminds us in his letter in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. They matter. They matter. So this is who Tabitha was, a person who helped others, a person who did what she could for others. Well, Peter's upstairs in this room, and he sees Tabitha's handiwork as all the widows are showing them, this is what she made me, and look, I'm wearing this one today. She made this last week, and they're going on and on. He tells them all to just kindly leave the room. Just can you guys step out? Then it says that Peter knelt down by the bed, and he prayed. Can I just encourage you today, when you don't know what to do, pray. When you're up against impossible odds, pray. Follow Peter's example today and pray for those needs in your life. Well, Peter, turning to the body, he says three words, "Get up, Tabitha." Did Peter heal her? God did. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter helps her up from the bed, and he calls the widows back into the room and to show them that Tabitha is awake, and she's alive, and she's breathing. You can imagine that kind of news spread like wildfire. You can just see it. Because of this, it says that many believed in the Lord. If I was there and I saw that she had died and I saw that she was alive again, I think that the hairs on the back of my neck would kind of go, whoa, something's up here. You see, some would say the greatest miracle is when God heals the body like Aeneas. That is a great miracle. Others would say the greatest miracle is when God raises someone from the dead like Tabitha. And that is a great miracle. But I believe this morning the greatest miracle of all is when a lost sinner receives salvation. The greatest miracle of all is when a lost sinner receives salvation. The best part of this story is that when the people of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, they turned to God. And just seeing this former paralyzed man walk around, it convinced them that the God of Peter was real, and they put their trust in him. And the people in Joppa, when they saw Tabitha alive again, many believed in the Lord. See, these miracles of Peter weren't just a demonstration of shock and awe, you know, to impress them. Look at me, look what I can do. But to draw people to Jesus, to point them to Jesus. Can I just stop? That's the purpose of Peace Chapel. We don't have all the answers. We can't help everybody. But we can point you to Jesus. That's our purpose. Well, Peter stayed in the town of Joppa for a long time, taking the opportunity to teach and to encourage and the believers there, to ground them in their faith and the truth of God's word. When Jesus commissioned Peter to take care of the sheep, remember that story? Peter was faithful to the task here. It's also significant that Peter stayed in the home of a leather worker, as they were considered unclean by the Jewish rabbis. So what does that mean? Well, God was preparing Peter away from the Jewish legalism that he was raised in into the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. What a great story of faith and of miracles and the power of God. You see, I genuinely believe this morning that you want your life to count. That you don't want to reach the end of your life, to discover that you wasted it on something that didn't matter. That your ladder, your life, as you climb it, as you live it, is leaning on the right wall and not the wrong wall. And I think you believe God created you to make a real difference in your marriage, your family, your workplace, your world. And quietly you pray, I do want my life to count. I do want my life to count. And as you look at your life, maybe you think it doesn't count. Or you feel stuck in a dead-end job or the wrong job, or there's a situation in your marriage or your family or a friendship, and it feels life is passing you by. Does my life matter? Does my life count? Can Tabitha's story help me? Can God's word help me where I'm at today? For the next few minutes, I'm going to share some thoughts from a book titled Big Dream Big, Think Small, Living an Extraordinary Life One Day at a Time. And I want to encourage you about the faithfulness of Tabitha. You see, poverty was a very extreme and common experience in Tabitha's day. Back in those days, life was intolerable and difficult for a woman who was a widow and that had no adult sons or brothers to care for them. This is where Tabitha, she stepped into their situations and devoted her days to helping with their suffering and their loneliness. To these poor widows, these garments that Tabitha made for them meant warmth. It meant dignity. It meant hope. Having a coat while living in Joppa, again, on the Mediterranean coast, protected them from the cold winter winds that came up off the sea. Tabitha's goodness, Tabitha's faithfulness provided shelter from the cold. Throwing away their threadbare garments for a new one gave these widows dignity. You see, Tabitha's faithfulness and goodness in making these garments lessened the shame of being alone and increased their self-respect. And the clothes that Tabitha made brought these women a big dose of hope in their often hopeless situation. You see, when a widow received a new garment from Tabitha, you can hear the whisper, "You're not alone. Someone's looking out for you. You're not alone. I've got your back." To some, Tabitha was a nobody. To others, Tabitha was a hero in her church. In fact, she's mentioned in the Bible. You see, Tabitha's death brought a big blow to the widows and the church. And if you think about it, if you zoom out just a little bit from Tabitha's story, how did she spend her days? You see, she wasn't shopping on Black Friday, grabbing all the deals that she could for the widows of the church, no. She was making these garments by hand. Think about that for a second. Tabitha lived her very ordinary life by devoting herself to extraordinary activities. Tabitha lived her very ordinary life by devoting herself to extraordinary activities. She spent some time in her day sewing. Her legacy, her faithfulness was that she engaged in the very time-consuming process of making clothes by hand. I remember as a kid, during the Halloween time, my mom has got a pattern and she's making a Halloween costume for me. And she's got a sewing machine, which they didn't have back then, but da-da-da-da, all the detail, da-da-da, inside out, da-da-da-da, does it fit, come here, try this on. And I remember that. That took time. Then she would give these garments away to those who were at times frantically and desperately in need. Pastor Spence, that sounds like a boring, wasted, simple, ordinary life. But it wasn't. It wasn't. She made a gigantic impact on those around her. And as you look at Tabitha's consistency, her goodness, her faithfulness, you must see her devoted love to those widows. She finished one garment, and then what? She made another, and then another. You see, in a society where goodness is often ignored because it's too common, it's too mundane, it's too ordinary, it's too everyday, be a Tabitha. Her life mostly consisted of sitting and sewing clothes for those in need. And in today's world, Tabitha's example, she wouldn't have made the front page. She would not have a video on TikTok or Facebook or somewhere. Be faithful. Be full of goodness. Do good for others. You see, Tabitha was really a remarkable woman because she embraced a holy redundancy. She was faithful. She committed. She was sewing the next morning. Did her activities, went to bed, got up. She embraced that holy redundancy. The motto of her life could be, she got up and did it again. She got up and did it again. She got up and did it again. That describes her life. I want to pause for just a moment here. The story of Tabitha isn't meant for you to hear this morning. You need to do more as a mom. You need to do more as a Christian. That's not what we're saying today. That's not what we're saying. Do not hear that, moms. Don't feel that, oh, I'm not doing enough. Don't feel that. You're less of a mother. You're less of a follower of Christ if you're not out there helping the poor every day. That is not the message, okay? Please take this in context of your story and what you're capable of. You see, God is calling all of us to be faithful with what we have, to give of your time, your resources, your love in a consistent way when you're able to, when you can do that. Tabitha's faithfulness. Most, if not all of us, want to live great lives. We fear not leaving any positive mark on our world. If I were to be snuffed out, would anybody miss me? Did I make a mark? Did I influence? Did I impact? Did I help other people? And we fear that, right? But as we try to live great lives, we often search for great big things to do, to accomplish. The author of the book I mentioned earlier says this: greatness is rarely achieved by doing great things, but instead by doing good things repetitively. Wow. Great things is rarely achieved by doing great things, but instead of doing good things repetitively. You know, the thought just came to my mind, Michael Jordan, the time he spent in the basketball court, away from the cameras, away from the eyes of everybody else. He missed more shots than he made. But in my opinion, the greatest basketball player ever. Repetitive. Practice. You see, the real tragedy is that while we're waiting to do something great, big with our lives, we miss out on good opportunities. You see, we're all encouraged to do random acts of kindness toward others, which is a good thing. That's good. But Tabitha here was devoted to the widows of Joppa. It wasn't random at all. It was intentional. It was steady. It was consistent. It was faithful. You see, there's a significant difference between acts of kindness randomly and a lifestyle of goodness. Don't shout me down. Don't shout me down. Settle down back there. Whoa. Let me say that again. There's a significant difference between an act of kindness and a lifestyle of goodness. You see, they were about to etch in Tabitha's tombstone, "She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor." What a legacy to have on your tombstones, that you were known to help others. See, Tabitha's faithfulness, her lifestyle of goodness, is a great example to follow. And a little side note here, there's another lesson that we can learn from this story. Let these weeping, mourning widows be an example for us today. They were so grateful and they were so thankful for Tabitha's love and her devotion. And in our context this morning, being it's Mother's Day, let us show our gratitude to our moms and the motherly types in our life. For all the sacrifice, all the devotion, wisdom, and love.
To the mothers and all the women who've cared for us. To the grandmothers, the spiritual mothers, and the waiting mothers. To the foster moms, the single moms, and the stepmoms. To the mentors, friends, guardians, and guides. To those who loved us, taught us, and showed us the way. To those who carried us, held our hand, and watched us grow. To those who experienced blessing this year, and to those who went through loss, to the heroic women all around us, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your courage, your kindness, and your faith in God. Thank you for shaping us, nurturing us, and walking with us through life. Thank you for showing us what it looks like to love and follow Jesus. Thank you for your prayers, your wisdom, and for never giving up on us. Thank you for boldly stepping into this high and holy calling. Thank you for the long nights and the short years and for the incredible joy. Whether this is a day of reflection, rejoicing, or remembering, we acknowledge you, we honor you, and we thank you today. Happy Mother's Day.
To the moms, the motherly types, to all of us this morning, what will our legacy be? What one consistent Tabitha task are we willing to give ourselves to repeatedly? Praying for our kids, showing, you know, slowing down to take the time, have a listening ear when someone calls. Someone visits. What one Tabitha task is it for you? Who can we be a Tabitha to in our lives and in our world? Spouse, family, relatives, friends, church family. Who are three people in your life who like Tabitha, who are like Tabitha to us? My encouragement to you is to reach out to them this week and thank them, like those widows did. That all of us this morning, it's not about doing more and burning out and wearing out, Believe me, moms do a lot. Even if your kids are grown and out of the house, you're still thinking about them. Am I right? You're still concerned about them. You still love them. And they may be close, they may be gone, they may be far away, but a mother's heart is deep. The encouragement from Tabitha's life is that we would have a lifestyle of goodness, helping others when we can. Let's pray.